Operator here. Welcome to the Cyberpunk Matrix Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything cyberpunk. In just a second, we're going to connect you to the cyberspace. So hold on to your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
All right. Hello and welcome. This is your host, Alex, and you have reached the Cyberpunk Matrix Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything cyberpunk. Today, I'm joined by Matrix University Director Lazarus, who provides all the latest news and updates for everything Matrix-related on his YouTube channel, Neomatrixology. Welcome, Lazarus. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Now, today I wanted to start off with introducing your channel, but can I call you Laz?
Is that cool? Okay, although great. I do like the director title. That kind of made me feel special, like the dean of students there. Thanks for
all that. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're directing your channel and it's related to Matrix University.
Yeah, with the video production, I mean, there's definitely that element. So.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking more of the university angle, but that's right. You are, I guess it's double. All right. So director Laz.
Double entendre, that's what I'm saying. It's got both sides. It's got multiple layers like the Matrix itself. So I love it.
There we go. So director Laz, I wanted to start off today with introducing your channel and asking you a bit about where the name comes from, Neomatrixology. What does that mean? And what you do over at your channel, Neomatrixology, for those listeners who aren't familiar.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So Neomatrixology is basically a word that I made up, but it literally means new study of the matrix. So the idea behind that, I try to dive into it in the introduction video. Like if you pull up the page on my YouTube, I mean, on your YouTube, it should show you like the intro video. And in there, I kind of just briefly mention my experience with the Matrix Online. And, you know, I kind of missed that community. So in a way, the channel was almost like this social experiment of trying to bring people together who, like me, you know, get obsessed with a franchise or a favorite movie or whatever it is, and you want to know everything about it. Well, then Neomatrixology YouTube channel is the right place for you, because there we break down everything and try to pick everything apart and find all the actual information that's out there related to the Matrix franchise. And more importantly, I wanted to create a space where Matrix fans, hardcore Matrix fans, could trust the information that they were getting. You know, I saw a lot of, you know, very entertaining videos on YouTube talking about different aspects of the Matrix and different things that were pointed out and talked about and theories and things of that nature. However, in that more entertaining section of YouTube videos, I found that there was like a lot of inconsistencies and things that I just thought, okay, that's cool to talk about, that's fun, that's entertainment, but I wanted to have a space where, okay, as far as a movie franchise goes, these are the facts, this is what happened, this is what we can look to and point to and say, oh, the Wachowski said this in an interview, or, you know, this character did this in a Matrix comic, sure, or in the Matrix, right, online. I wanted to have a base, a home place where Matrix fans could go and say, okay, that is factual Matrix related information.
Okay, interesting. And it's interesting you say that, because I think a lot of, there is a certain extent where the Matrix was meant to be open to interpretation, like a piece of art that different people see it differently. And so in that sense, there should be kind of discussion and different views. But in another sense, I think for anything that's very popular, people go a bit too far and then find things that aren't really there, or try to attribute things that they find themselves to the directors when there wasn't really their intention.
And absolutely. I think what both sides of those coins that you described, I think, you know, it's okay to encourage both. Like, it's okay to, like you said, allow people to run away with their own imagination. I think it's very well designed to do that. That's one of the things I love about the Matrix universe. There's just so much space. But at the same time, I saw a lack of the opposite side of the coin of just identifying and focusing on what's actually there. So that's what I wanted to do, fill that gap, fill that void. So that way, if you want to go you know, further down the rabbit hole of your own imagination. Like, I'm working on a fan fiction, you know, and a lot of the references are going to be Matrix Online and Matrix comic references, so they're not as obvious as, you know, the film references. But the point being that in this piece that I'm working on, I want it to be consistent with the things that we've already seen in the Matrix universe. And that's basically, you know, kind of the point of the channel, is to have a basis of consistency, a place where you can look to and say, okay, these things all add up. These things don't contradict themselves. So.
Sure, definitely. That sounds really interesting. I'm curious to ask you about your fan fiction in a minute. But I want to start with, you mentioned there were some examples on YouTube where it was kind of entertaining, but it wasn't really backed up. Do you have any examples in mind of times that people maybe propagated some sort of view of the Matrix that wasn't quite true, or that was dangerous, or news that wasn't quite backed up?
Yeah, well, with news, that's a whole other rabbit hole. For whatever reason, it seems like, you know, the Matrix is this kind of franchise that is open to the internet playing the telephone game with information and things starting one way and then getting reported another. But that's a whole other conversation. More specifically, examples that you asked for. So the two biggest are the Smith is the One and the Matrix inside the Matrix theories. So, you know, it's kind of an Inception level thinking for the Matrix franchise in terms of, you know, was Zion part of the Matrix instead of being in the real world? Now, what's funny is those two topics were among my like first handful of videos. And that's because those two ideas kind of were big motivating factors in me starting the channel, technically I started the channel in 2008 to post videos of the Matrix online. But in terms of this project, the Neo Matrixology project, me debunking those two theories were two of my earliest and, you know, more successful
to set
videos.
Things straight. Absolutely.
Yeah. And because honestly, what was happening was I was on YouTube and, you know, I was seeing these videos and getting in the comments and getting into debates, you know, heated debates with other commenters in the YouTube comment section. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm tired of just saying the same things over and over again. Let me just make a video so I can copy the link and post it and say, just watch that.
Let's work for you. Absolutely.
And then that's the other thing too. I knew opening up, you know, this channel that it was going to invite people to debate those things. So I was like, instead of it always being the same back and forth in my own comment section, I'll just say, hey, look, I've already got a video about that. Go check that out and then get back to me.
Now, did you restart this channel? I mean, was it still, I mean, last I checked, you had over 3,000 subscribers, I think. Was this channel still going strong before the Matrix 4 was announced? Or was it announced? I think that was in August 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And so then you came back to it saying, oh, now's a chance to really make this big.
Actually, it was kind of so here's the funny part. So like I said, I originally started the channel in 2008 when the Matrix Online was still active. And the reason for that was just to have a platform that I could share the videos that I was making of us playing the game with my faction mates so they could see, you know, the video footage that I had edited.
Oh, okay. Very practical. So then,
yeah. I mean, YouTube was free. I'm like, okay, you know, we didn't have any other way to share it. So it was awesome. But, you know, you're literally talking, you know, the number of faction mates. So you had, you know, 10, 20 views.
Sure.
Then the Matrix Online goes offline in 2009. I literally stopped using the YouTube channel until, like you said, so if they announced the Matrix 4 in August 2019, then I restarted posting Matrix videos, I want to say June of 2019. So literally like 2 months before they announced the Matrix 4. Obviously, I didn't know that they were going to announce the Matrix 4. That's when I started this project. That's when
it was fate. You were fated. No. You didn't have a choice about it.
Once I saw the news, I was I have to take this seriously. I have to do this. This is a sign from the Matrix universe itself. We're going to run with this thing. And it's been fun. It's been a great ride. It's crazy because that was literally almost it's June now. So, that's 2 years that I've been doing this consistently.
Happy 2 year anniversary.
Thanks. Yeah, no, time flies when you're having fun. I mean, it's crazy to think that I've spent these last 2 years like this far down the rabbit hole and diving into, you know, all things Matrix that I can get my hands on. Mm-hmm. But having that, like, you know, we're talking about it now. I mean, I really feel entrenched in the information, like, you know, not to be like, it wasn't a lazy approach, but just like when you asked me about doing a podcast today, I'm like, oh, sure, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel totally prepared. Like, I've been so deep into it right now that it's just like, oh, what do you want to talk about? Matrix? Anything Matrix? We can talk about it for an hour, 2 hours. Let's go. You know, I'm ready.
Yeah. If you talk about it enough, you start being able to do it in your sleep. It reminds me of something that there are no people aren't successful because they're talented or because they're experts. They're successful because they spend 10,000 hours in whatever it is that they're passionate about.
Right.
After you spend enough time in something, you become really the expert in it. But I wanted to continue along this line of, you know, you talked about a community in the Matrix Online. What's the state of the community for Matrix fans now?
So it's funny because I don't have a Reddit account, but Reddit seems to be kind of leading the charge as far as community.
Okay.
So there's a big, I think it's r/Matrix community that exists. There's also a few Facebook groups.
Oh, okay.
That are Matrix specific. So those exist. So I am not actually a part of either of those, ironically. Where I get my community kicks and giggles is the Matrix Online Emulator Discord.
Oh,
so
okay.
That community has grown a lot over the past year, 2 years now. Keep in mind, the coder who's been trying to like reverse engineer the Matrix Online, that's what the emulator is. It's kind of like this environment where you can just play around, but the missions aren't active and stuff.
Sure.
He's been working on this for like 10 years. He's been working on this since they closed the Matrix Online. Yeah, it's definitely commitment. And, you know, every couple months we get something new. Like, I think the last update was we can sit down in chairs again and on park benches and stuff. So that's awesome.
Makes me wonder what you were doing before that. Right. Flying around, I guess?
Yeah, well, you can hyper jump. That the hyper jump's been functional for a while. And that's the thing. It has a lot of functions. But, you know, if you want to just explore the environment, if you didn't get to play, I think it's more for the people who did play and they just want to taste that nostalgia and, you know, go back into that world and remember what it was like.
Sure.
Because like I said, the missions aren't active. Combat, I think he got started on combat. It's just not open for us, but it'll get there. Eventually, we'll be able to do combat again, which will be really fun.
And along that vein with the Discord that you mentioned. So it's I haven't found those Facebook groups yet, but I am, well, more of a lurker on Reddit than anything else. But I've started trying to be more active on Reddit. Is a Discord group just for people who played The Matrix online before? Or is it open to anybody?
So, yeah, I mean, it's open. It's free. It's not a paid membership or anything like that. I'm sure the link is somewhere on the message boards for the emulator. I definitely have a link to the emulator, you know, in the videos.
Okay.
But I think when you like, if you do have PC and you install the game, when you jack into the Matrix, like a pop-up screen comes up and it gives you the link to the Discord there. So,
okay. Yeah, no, that sounds great. I would love to join that just in order to start talking to other people other than just you.
Well, what I like about
is, like the Matrix, you know?
Yeah, no, what I like about that community specifically is, I don't want to scare people away, but it's hardcore, like in the sense that the people that are there are very passionate, but more importantly to me, very knowledgeable about the universe. You know, there are people there, you know, we don't all agree on all the same things, which is great, but it's healthy debate. You know, it's not like how it's describing the comment section, like some of those debates can kind of get nasty. The Discord's not like that at all. You know, it's very friendly. I mean, there might be a hazing period for the noobs, but outside of that.
Got it. I see.
It's a good group, though. It's a good group. I like it.
Yeah. And I want to come back to your, I wanted to ask you this earlier, but we went off topic a bit. I noticed that in a lot of your channel and a lot of your content, you talk a lot about this yellow pill. What does that mean exactly? And also, I mean, I think you've mentioned it to me before, but for those who are new. And also, why did you decide to call it Matrix University? How did that come up as you were creating your channel?
So let me answer that in reverse. So first, the Matrix University thing, like I said, Neo Matrixology is this, technically it means the new study of the Matrix. So study right there, you know, I wanted to provide a community. So for university, it's a school. It's a place where people can learn things that they didn't already know about the Matrix, because I'm positive. Trust me, as much research as I've done, as much, you know, or rather, you know, being entrenched in this thing for, you know, like I said, 2 years now of just soaking in all the Matrix information I can gather, you know, even I learned things that I didn't think of or notice or find or see before, you know, over 20 years. So I can guarantee if you watch every video, especially in the Matrix trilogy, playlist, you know, you're going to learn something new. You're going to find something out that you didn't know before. So that's kind of the university part. Like when I do the live streams, you know, I say classes in session and
yeah,
you know, there's that whole thing. So, you know, it's just something fun to kind of make it, or rather invite people to join that community specifically. So that's where the Matrix University theme kind of came from. So now to jump to the first part of your question, the yellow pill, and somewhere, I think it might be the video right after the introduction. I went into details about the inspiration behind that, but just to try to summarize it for you guys here real quick. If you saw the entire trilogy in the third film in Revolutions, it opens up with the yellow code. Okay. You know, it shows you the green code and then it goes deep down into it, almost at this like quantum level. And down there, the code is yellow. We see the yellow light theme throughout the Matrix Revolutions, and in the Ken Wilber and Dr. Cornel West commentary on the Ultimate Matrix Collection, you know, Ken talks about the yellow light being the entire key to the trilogy. And, you know, what was funny is I picked up on the yellow light thing while playing the Matrix online. Not having even heard Ken Wilber's commentary at that time.
Why you're the director.
Right. But no, it resonated with me. I definitely got some of the symbolism there. And so when we talk about taking the yellow pill, in my, I guess, faction's headcanon when we were playing the Matrix online, I kind of spoke to this idea where instead of the red pill or the blue pill, you know, our faction had the yellow pill of knowledge. So, you know, yes, you take the red pill, but the red pill is just a tracking device so that, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar can find Neo in the real world.
It disrupts your neural...
Your input-output signal.
That's right. right. Props to you for remembering that line, yeah.
So, but, you know, in that, when they find Neo, Morpheus has to then take Neo into the construct to show him the real world.
Correct. Right.
Even though he did explain to Neo what the Matrix was before Neo even takes the red pill, it doesn't mean anything until you see it for yourself.
Yeah.
So the idea behind taking the yellow pill is, you know, having this pill of truth, or this pill of information, but part of that is the responsibility to do the research, to dig to that deepest quantum level, to go all the way back to the source, to trace the information as far back as you can get. Because when you do that, you can either A, find out what you thought before wasn't in fact the truth, or B, you have even more reason to believe what you believed originally. But again, that all comes through research and having that raw information. So that's what the yellow pill is about, is tracing things back to the source and wanting to take responsibility, because, you know, sometimes it requires a little work or a little reading or a little digging. And that's what I do. I dig as far back as it'll let me, you know, as far down as it'll let me go down a rabbit hole of any specific, you know, news story or whatever. I'm going to try to find as much, you know, as many breadcrumbs as I can find.
Yep. No, that's actually a great metaphor. I really like that. As we all know, though, it can be a hard pill to swallow when you find out the truth.
Part of it, yeah.
And once you find out the truth, you might know that all that you know is that you know nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. No, and so. I've had some really, like I said, sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. But there are other times where, like, for example, the Bill Pope interview, he was the cinematographer for Bound and the Matrix, the original Matrix trilogy. And he had an interview where he spoke about what went wrong or what he saw going wrong with the sequels. And, you know, I know a lot of people give the sequels a hard time. We've talked about this in my interview on your website.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are fans of the sequels.
Absolutely.
but I get it. Not everybody likes it. Not everybody loves them. But I feel like anything that I noticed that or something that I would have critiqued, I can still like something and be critical of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
But anything that I pointed out as, I guess, less than perfection, I think that he very accurately articulated why those things developed the way they developed. So, like you said, in a way, it was a hard pill to swallow, you know, hearing him talk about it. But at the same time, it was really awesome to, it was almost validating. It was like, you know, oh, you know, this kind of like, okay, I get it. I see why that, or why the pacing isn't the same, or, you know, why it seems slow here, or, you know, what went wrong. And it, just to hear it from someone who was there, that's the one thing that I didn't expect from this project that I keep seeing is, you know, when I hear from the people that were actually involved,
you know,
hearing their perspective, it's just so mind-blowing sometimes, or eye-opening, or in some cases validating. And that actually has been like a real, like I said, unanticipated joy or side effect of doing this.
That's great. I definitely have to check that out again, that interview with Bill Pope. And it's interesting. No, it's great to hear that for you as well, there's still things that you're discovering with The Matrix, even as much
even
as you know. I actually had a recent thing for me about that I, one of the biggest things that I like about The Matrix is the music. So Don Davis,
yeah.
I would listen to that in my freshman year. In high school it was. I would listen to those tracks on repeat, the first one and the second one in particular, Matrix 1 and Matrix 2, the soundtracks. And so, you know.
They actually recently released it on vinyl, I believe. There's a vinyl.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I saw that. That looks great. And so there's one song, I think it's from Revolutions, and I didn't care for it too much, but I thought it was okay. I think it was from Pale 3.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, there's this band called Pale 3. I didn't think anything of it because they use sampled a lot of like other bands, right? You had Rob Zombie and Rage Against the Machine. And so I didn't think anything of it. And then I've been waiting to see, you know, once I found out that, okay, Don Davis isn't going to be coming back to Matrix 4, I was very worried. I was thinking like, what is the music going to be like? I found out that The Matrix 4, the soundtrack was going to be by, let me pull it up.
Tom Tykwer.
Tykwer?
It looks like Tykwer, but in a recent John McTeague interview, he pronounced it Tykwer. So I believe it's pronounced Tykwer.
Tom Tykwer. Okay. Well, thank you for telling me how to pronounce it. Because if he's German, Tykwer.
There you go. Yeah, you got it.
So I was like, who is Pale 3? I don't know. And then I was looking up Tom Tykwer, I guess, and I found out there was a reference in the soundtrack for Matrix 3. And I was like, wait a minute. He wasn't in Matrix 3 soundtrack. I wouldn't know that. I looked it up, but I didn't see him anywhere. And it kept referencing Hell Club or something like that. So I looked it up, and I found that Tom Tykwer is one of the three members for Pale 3, and they composed the song In My Head, if I'm not mistaken, for Matrix Revolutions.
And this is the perfect example of what we were talking about.
As much
in deep digging as I've done, I didn't know that. I learned that today on your podcast.
Seriously? Yeah. Well, there you go. I tweeted about it on June 10th, but I guess my tweets don't have much reach. Who knows? I was doing my own little digging, and there you go.
No, see, and that's the thing. I fight with that constantly. It's like, should you have the timeline be most recent or, you know, whatever algorithm is the default? I'm on the default. But like you said, I feel like I missed a lot of people's tweets that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always giving me these promoted tweets. And I mean, I guess you're going to get the promoted ones either way. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people who are on my timeline that I follow, if I did most recent, I'd see more stuff like that instead of it falling through the crack.
I'll just make sure to tag you anytime.
Tag me. Yeah, if it's Matrix related, tag me, dude.
If that's the case, then I should also mention that 3 days afterwards, Did you know? Okay, first off, did you know that Neo might have been played by Will Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Will put out a little video, his little story time series, and he.
Yes, talked about that. Yeah. That's right. So that was the first that I learned that Will Smith has a YouTube channel. I mean, it doesn't really surprise me once I found out, but it never occurred to me to look for Will Smith YouTube channel. But he has so many followers, of course, because he's a celebrity. And then he had this why I turned down the Matrix. And the story was really interesting. And did you watch the video?
Yes, absolutely.
His description of the Wachowski brothers at the time pitching the idea.
Him with the backwards hat on. That's the funniest. Yeah. His impersonation of them pitching it is absolutely comedy.
And it made me think, like, well, it seems so brilliant and such a good idea. It didn't occur to me that when someone had never seen it before, to hear the pitch, they would have said, this sounds ridiculous.
Well, here's the funny thing, too. I believe Will Smith put that video out either right when I started my channel or right before I started my channel. It was around that time. It was like summer of 2019.
Okay.
So that's funny. And there were other actors that they approached before Neo 2.
Right.
We talked about that a bit. But right, going back to the whole Will Smith thing, right? When you think about it, also remember, the Wachowskis were very new to film in Hollywood at that time. I mean, they had sold their script for Assassins, and the final product was nothing like they wrote, they say. And then they did Bound in order to get the green light for Matrix. So you have to think, when they were pitching that to Will Smith, they were literally working on their third Hollywood film. And the first one was just their script. They didn't have anything to do with the production process.
Wow. So they're very new.
They were very new. But that's why they had to have it storyboarded. You know, right. Having that root in the comic book world really gave them a leg up to sell it. If they didn't have that, if they didn't have the storyboards, we would have never seen The Matrix, at least not the way that we saw it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was very interesting. Now I guess that's a great segue to Matrix 4. So you've been following a lot of the news of Matrix 4 coming out.
Oh yeah.
Before I get into what you think will happen in Matrix 4, which I think you've already mentioned a bit in other podcasts,
it's fluid. It changes. I'm not, committed to any one idea, but go ahead.
Yeah. What was your favorite bit of news about Matrix 4 that has come out? Like a bit of news that it broke, you read it the first time and you're like, wow, that's really cool.
Well, I got to go with the shameless plug. I mean, if you're going to ask for my favorite, it would have been the leak of the Resurrections title, because I feel like, while I wasn't the person who, I guess, found it initially, I was definitely part of breaking that story.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just really, really fun, because, I did the video. I mean, I'm always excited when I find Matrix news, but yeah. When the whole title leak thing was going on, I did the video, and a lot of times, like, I do videos like really late at night,
Yeah.
So, I upload the video. I'm like exhausted, pass out, wake up, and my phone is literally on fire.
Wow.
The thing was just blowing up. And I'm like, what's going on?
Because everyone was retweeting it, because you were one of the first people to.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a fun ride. And I believe somebody tweeted today, David Manning. I'm actually, before I messaged you to get this podcast going, I was reading his thread, and so I don't know exactly who he is or what he's linked to, but he said that he saw a screening of Matrix 4 and that the title was Matrix Resurrections.
Wow.
So we have further, somebody verifying on the internet that it's going to be called Matrix 4 Resurrections.
Yeah, but it's funny that you said that was your reaction. For me, I read that, I guess, partly through you, but I thought to myself, no, I don't want to know yet. For me, it was the opposite. It was like, I want to know when it's this big fanfare. I don't want to know through a leak of a haircut stylist. I mean, it's kind of cool, but I was just like, if that was a mistake and then you took it down, I it was kind of like how I felt when I found out about Santa or whatever. I was like,
Santa Claus.
I'm not supposed to know. I'll just keep on pretending like I don't know. It's not official, but one of my favorite news stories, I guess it's still not 100% official, was, remember when we saw the footage of these two people being dangled on the
The
tightrope?
San Francisco skyscraper jump, yes.
Yes. So first, seeing those first shots, that was really exciting to me at first. And again, I kind of felt like, oh, I'm not supposed to see it, but it's out in daylight, so whatever. But afterwards, I read that that was actually Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss. Do you believe that rumor, or do you think that
Oh,
it
absolutely. Now,
was stunt actors?
so here's the thing. Because for a while there, I was pointing out that the male actor was blonde, right? But
Oh,
I'm pretty
okay.
sure that video is the test jump. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Since then, I have seen a follow-up shot of them jumping, and the male stunt double, well, excuse me, the male performer has dark hair. So I do believe that in the actual shot, that it is Keanu and Carrie Ann, because I believe, I want to say it was James McTeague in his interview, he verified that they actually did that. Also, just for some a little co corroboration, one of the older Ellen Hallman interviews, not the most recent one that I posted, but the one I think before that, she said that the quote unquote two performers actually did that. So even though she didn't name Keanu
Wow.
and Carrie Ann by name, if
Right.
you add that to
If
the
you put
James
the
McTeague
pieces
interview,
together,
right? You've got
then
somebody validating it, yeah.
that does make sense. Although I will say that Chad, I think it was Chad Stahelski, who was the director
Yeah.
of the John Wick film.
John
He
Wick, yeah.
was the stunt double for
Neo in the
Keanu Reeves,
original,
right?
yeah.
And he has black hair too, right? So it could be theoretically
Correct.
him.
Correct.
But we don't know. I mean, like, if that is the case, I mean, when I heard about that news, I just thought, I can't wait for the behind the scenes video that is going to come out after Matrix 4. And if it's going to be interviews between Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss saying, yeah, we're actually going to do this, I would love to see that.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna take James McTeague at his word. I do believe that that's actually them.
That would be really cool. So I guess that leads me then to your fluid opinion of what you think is going to happen in Matrix 4.
Okay, so right, so we've got I don't like reading into that particular scene too much. It's funny because you're talking about the spoilers, and one of the reasons why the original was so impactful is because I hadn't seen any trailers or commercials. I
Sure.
just, was invited to see the film and was blown away.
Yeah.
But this time around, it's the complete opposite. I've been soaking up any little crumbs and information I can find, and any bits and pieces of information there. So, with all the intel I've gathered, I can still say that I don't really know anything.
Sure.
But yeah, when you what was it? The Nemesine, the leak of the photo of the plaque for the hovercraft ship
Oh,
that'll be in
yes.
Matrix 4, that is about memory and I think it's like a goddess of memory, something like that.
What was the name of the ship again?
Nemesine.
Okay.
I saw some, I believe it was like audition leak. The validity is questionable. I think it has a little bit more weight than people think. I don't think that the dialogue that they were sharing will actually be in the film. A lot of times, audition dialogue, especially for something as secretive as Project Ice Cream,
Yeah.
I'm sure that the audition dialogue is not from the actual script. However, there was an idea there that I think kind of goes along with some of the things that we've seen. So to answer your question directly, I believe that, the Neo, or rather the Thomas Anderson that we will see in the Matrix, will have, at least in the beginning of the film, no memory of who he is or what happened in the original trilogy. We also saw on the trailer, like the actors' trailers in Berlin. It said,
Oh, yeah.
Neo Thomas Anderson, and the other one said Trinity slash Tiffany. So I do believe that it's hard to know if Carrie Ann Moss also won't have remembered what happened and they kind of meet, or if she knows everything and has to kind of reawaken Neo. I kind of lean towards the latter, that Carrie Ann will kind of bring him back to his the one self. But yeah, that's kind of the, I think, because I believe it was Keanu Reeves who said that there's a love story in the Matrix 4. There's a
Right.
love story in the original trilogy. But yep. I think that that's going to be like the basis of it, is that, you know, Keanu doesn't know he's the one, and that Carrie Ann kind of brings him back to that, and you know, basically a reawakening for Neo. I think that's going to be the general theme. But when you get to like who's the villain and those type of obstacles, I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. We know that the Merovingian will be in it, but yeah. I don't, you know, I think I've seen a lot of people say that he'll be the primary villain, but I don't know that the franchise necessarily paints him as the villain, so to speak.
He's just a selfish third party. Well, not selfish, but he has his own interests, and he is helpful in some sense, but then he is blocking another. I mean, like, he's not he protects when it's the agents and the Merovingians. They're running away from the Merovingian with the two ghosts, and then there's the agents that come along in the highway chase. And if anything, one helps the other in terms of both of them seeking out the Neo and Trinity and the Keymaker.
And ironically, in The Matrix Online, the Merovingian actually helps save Niobe. So you actually see a side. Again, it's for his own, you know, benefit. Sure. It's not like he's doing it because he's a nice guy. But with that said, with his importance, like you said, that third party, I believe that he's important to the balance. And I'm not going to spoil it, because eventually I'm going to get to a video about him specifically. I haven't yet, just because, like, I feel like the perspective I have about his participation in the balance of the Matrix hasn't been really, really talked about. So I guess I just waiting for the right time. But but yeah, I don't think he's going to be the quote unquote primary villain in the Matrix 4. We know he's in it, which is great. I'm glad to see him reprise his role. That'll be fun. He said he was working on, you know, some updated French swear words. So that is always fun to see him go off in French. But
I love his scenes and his French. And it's funny, now that I've moved to France as an American, I feel like when I do see news about Matrix 4, sometimes I see the French news, sometimes I see the American news, and they're big fans of Lambert Wilson. And I mean, he played Charles de Gaulle, you know, the military commander in the Second World War. And he's okay. Really great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him, and it was like, I mean, it was just like some YouTube short science fiction, and it was really good. I was really impressed by his performance. I mean, it was just like I said, a very short, maybe 10, 15 minute film, but, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of thing. I think he's a good, and that's the other thing too. I think that Lana Wachowski really has a good tuning fork for finding the right actors for the right roles.
Absolutely.
I'm really impressed with the cast list for this.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I'm very excited to see Jessica Henwick pull out her martial arts. Because I'm a huge fan of the martial arts elements of the movies. And she was already very good with Iron Fist, I believe.
Because when I first heard about her being in The Matrix 4, I think at that time the only thing I had seen her in was her small cameo in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
So I went back and watched The Defenders and a couple episodes of Iron Fist. And honestly, I thought she carried the series. Like,
really?
Yeah. No, I think she was like the best on there. You know, I mean, I guess what I'm saying, or trying not to say, is I wasn't impressed with the guy who played Iron Fist.
Yeah, I would agree.
His performance was meh. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't engaging. Like, I didn't necessarily believe he was that role.
Sure. But yeah,
Jessica, I totally believe that she was playing that role. So
no, she was very compelling. But I'm also thinking specifically from the martial arts element, that she did really well. And I believe it when I hear that she trained a lot for these roles. And I think she's not going to have the glasses, but she'll have the leather jacket and the martial arts. So,
and, you know, she, Jessica Henwick and Ellen Hallman, were also in recently released Love and Monsters. I haven't seen it yet, but Ellen Hallman, she's jujitsu. So, you know, we've got multiple actors with, you know, this kind of martial arts background.
That's really exciting. That's really exciting.
Right. We know Tiger Chen is involved. I don't know if he's going to be on screen or if he
was
just...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's going to be great, too. I had no idea that Tiger Chen was the martial artist who trained Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, right. He trained him for the original. Then he's one of the Merovingian henchmen in Reloaded, right.
I recognized him in Reloaded. I was like, oh, yeah, he's just one of the actors. I'm sure he knew some martial arts. Like, no, he trained Keanu Reeves.
But then the crazy part is I didn't know that he and Keanu Reeves worked on, created a film together since then.
That's Man of Tai Chi, right? I think.
Right? Something like that. I can't remember the title off the top of my head right now. But I recently found that out. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to watch that. And the funny part is Keanu Reeves is the villain. He's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's the Man of Tai Chi because I think Keanu Reeves directed it.
Yeah.
But Tiger Chen was the main protagonist, actually.
Yeah. I believe he wrote or he was one of the writers in the original draft, but at some point they had to bring in a Hollywood writer to tighten it up and everything. That was a lot of what took so long for it to get made. But yeah, they were part of the on-screen and behind the screens production of that film. So that's kind of really cool.
That's really exciting. All right.
Just the development of that relationship, like you said, going from just being a martial arts trainer on The Matrix to, okay, I'm making a movie with Keanu Reeves. I mean, that's got to be an awesome journey. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of just, it's been a development. I mean, Tiger Chen creating his own, Keanu Reeves creating his own, and then Chad Stahelski of all people creating. I am really surprised by the success of John Wick. I mean, I really like the gun fu or gun kata style fights, but taken alone as a movie for John Wick, every time I watch it, I'm always a little bit disappointed in terms of the story. And I know you don't go to watch John Wick for his story. You go more for the martial arts. But I'm sorry, but every time I watch it, I'm always a little disappointed. I'm like, the story is just lacking a bit. I wanted it to go more, and it's just long, really, really long martial arts or fighting scenes.
But here's what I will say, because you mentioned all these names, Chad Stahelski and 8711, and Ellen Hallman's husband is part of that. She's part of that stunt crew. I mean, that's the thing. You have to remember, John Wick is a film made by stunt crew guys that now make movies.
Right. That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's almost like, what I'm trying to say is I believe the brilliance of the franchise, and one of the things that makes it work and why it's so popular worldwide is because basically these guys, I don't know if they consciously did it, but they took that part of the Matrix that is successful to people who just love action movies and don't care about the deep layers of all this. What are you talking about? The Architect? What are you talking about? The Oracle and her dangerous game? Who cares about any of that? I don't want to think. I just want to go to the movies and see action. They took those elements and made a whole film franchise out of it.
But do they have bullet time in the?
I don't think so.
Or they go just as close. I mean, the latest movie, I think.
It's a lot of that. What's that? Bourne Supremacy. Jason Bourne. What's that? The Matt Damon.
Yeah.
It's a
Bourne
lot
Identity
of that.
Was the
Bourne
first
Identity,
one,
right? Those kind of jump cuts and the quick.
Jason Bourne. Yeah.
Yeah, the quick moves, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the latest one, it had motorcycles, katanas, and John Wick was on a horse. Hilarious. All right. I have to wrap up this interview because or else this file is going to be way too long to put up. But I wanted to ask you. The last question, because I mean, there's always more questions. We could talk about Matrix forever.
Like I said, I could talk about Matrix for days at this point. So
I mean, I think we should do it someday. Like just all cut together and talk about it. What content do you think is going to be coming out about the Matrix? I mean, I'm hoping that this will lead to more content, but do you think there's going to be like a TV series? Is it going to be live action or anime? Are there going to be other video games or something? And the second question, sorry, to follow up with that is, if you're a big fan of The Matrix like I am, how can you prepare for watching Matrix 4 in December?
Okay, so again, I think I'm going to do it again where I answer the second part first. So remind me of the first part after I get through the second part. But for preparation, and I'm answering the second part first because I think this is the easy answer.
Okay.
I tell people, I think the healthiest thing to do is to go in with no expectation. because at the end of the day, while I might have faith in the team that Lana Wachowski has put together, and I might be confident that she's on the project and she's been in the writing room and she's in the directing room and James McTeague is in the directing room and I trust all these names, at the end of the day, it's still the fourth series or fourth sequel in a series. You know, it's still the fourth film. Yeah. In general, the fourth film in a franchise does not hold up to the original. It's just, it could happen. It could be on the same level. It could surpass it. It's possible. I just don't think it's likely. I think that the odds are stacked against that. So when people come in and say, oh, I want the Matrix 4 to do X, Y, and Z, or the Matrix 4 is going to answer all these questions I had about Revolutions, do not have those expectations. I almost would think that it's just going to raise new questions. I definitely get a feeling that there's going to be like a passing of the torch vibe. So, you know what I mean? So with that said, I say go in, no expectations, see where the entertainment takes you and come out and then form your opinion and go from there. Just don't go in and say, I want to see this or I need to see that. Because if you're doing that, I'm telling you, you're going to be disappointed. What was the first part of the question again?
First part, it was what other content, Matrix content, do you think we can expect? Video games, TV shows?
I did a video, I think it's titled something like The Future of the Matrix Franchise, something like that. The Village Roadshow CEO actually talked about being part of Sony during the hack attack. And then he was talking about, you know, the pandemic and bouncing back from that. So he didn't specifically say that there was going to be a streaming series. But I feel like in between the lines, he definitely said that they were prepared for that. So I definitely feel like a streaming series, you know, an Iron Fist, the Defenders type thing is very likely. I've actually got a special surprise. I think it'll probably be uploaded on Sunday. But I'll tell you here, because of that information that I came across, I am much more confident that a future video game would be on the horizon. In my personal opinion, it would probably be a console, but you know, who knows? It might be another Matrix Online kind of thing. I just hope it's not a pay-to-play mobile. I mean, like, there's just so many terrible mobile games.
Oh, like right a cell phone game? Yeah.
Yeah, that just take your money and really are not fulfilling. I hope they don't go down that rabbit hole. But I would think that a video game is coming. Also, you know, the success of the fourth film is probably going to dictate a lot about what we do or do not get moving forward. But that was another motivation in terms of like what we were talking about before, Matrix University and this idea of community and this idea of bringing Matrix fans together. Because the reality is, you know, if we want this thing to be like the next Star Trek or Star Wars, where there's, you know, a whole fandom and, you know, exciting events and Comic-Con kind of stuff, that's on us. The fans have to step up to that plate. You know, we have to create that demand so that the you know, Warner Brothers and Village Roadshow is going to, you know, foot the bill for
keep
the
on big making budgets. More.
Yeah,
absolutely. It makes me kind of wonder if we're going to get any merchandise that will give us hints as to what's going to be in the movie. Like, will we get action figures that tell us that Neo's going to be having no memory and waking up or something?
Well, like I said, I think the Nemesine little picture with Lana Wachowski is as much as we're going to get for that. Now, merch after the movie comes out, sure. But as tight-lipped as they've been, I mean, you got to see or listen to these actors in these interviews. I mean, they are literally scared to leak anything. Like, they do not want any non-disclosure agreement legal problems.
Absolutely.
So I don't think
that probably should be.
Yeah, you know, and you know, at some point we'll get a trailer. So I think that's going to be as much as we get to kind of pick things apart and guess until December. But December's right around the corner, and hopefully, you know, we'll see. You know, hopefully we'll see it without any more release date delays. But yeah, with the whole that's why, you know, for the Project Matriculated, the premiere party event thing that we're doing for the Matrix 4. You know, I said, you know, cosplay is encouraged, not required, but. Yeah. Yeah, no, I want to kind of do what I can to help get that thing going and have, you know, like Matrix themed events and see if we can't, you know, push this thing over the hump and like you said, get more Matrix media. I'd love to see, like you said, more animated shorts,
absolutely,
more comics. I mean, that's to me, that's the goal, is more of everything.
Well, you can try to hold down the fort in North America, and I'll see what I can do here in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
It's definitely a universal, definitely a global movement. Like I said, Albert Chesia and the Matrix podcast, you know, he's podcasting from Australia. So, I mean, we really got,
oh my gosh, that's great.
Three of the four hemispheres covered right now.
There you go. I can't imagine about, I would love to talk to him too, maybe have us all in one room or podcast, so to speak. But the time differences for that would be hell to figure out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. I really have to cut it here because or else we'll never stop. Thank you so much, Laz, for being on the show. Where can people find you?
Okay. So it's at NeoMatrixology on Instagram and Twitter. You know, and that's, you can also search for that to find the YouTube channel. And those are the three main outlets. You know, NeoMatrixology.com is basically just a landing page to link you to all those things. All the merch is linked there. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I came up with that name when you asked me what it means. It also means if you search for NeoMatrixology on Google, you will find me. So,
oh, that's awesome. And you also have, so your merch is through Teespring or something, I think, is that right?
Well, that's for the t-shirts and like the cups and that kind of stuff. But there's actually the Resurrection Code sneakers is from Italy. A live shoe. So yeah, so we've got little green code sneakers out there on the market too.
Very
so
fancy.
Yeah.
No, the Merovingian would be proud.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of doing that next, having the red code sneakers. I'm not sure if I'm going to have that be like a Merovingian theme or if we're just going to call them the red pills, or we're still working on that.
Oh, that sounds great. All right. Thanks so much, Laz. Until next time, this has been the Cyberpunk Matrix Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything cyberpunk. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, on the Cyberpunk Matrix blog, and soon on your favorite podcast streaming services. Over and out.
You have just been in the cyberspace with your host, Alex. Welcome back to the desert of the real. If your upload was smooth, leave a 5-star review on iTunes and subscribe for more content.